Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
This is not a discussion. You have lost that one.
You said some racist.
Can you
I did not.
Stop telling people of color the useless. You're useless. Get the
History could pivot in the direction of the values that you are standing here for.
Yeah, resign.
What?
Resign.
Dr. Bridges is allowing this mob to effectively control the campus, and they have been in control since 9:30 on Tuesday morning, and they have said that if he does not accept their demands, that there will be violence. I'm troubled by what this implies about the current state of the left.
That's some video taken during a student protest at Evergreen State College, wherein a professor there, Brett Weinstein, refused to leave campus on a day of absence where, for the first time in this liberal college's history, the white people, the white students and faculty, were told that they had to leave the campus on that day. He refused to leave, taught his class, a mob ensued, and here he is decrying the state of the left, of progressivism. The question I have is, has the left so romanticized the protests of their generation, that is these older progressives, of the protests of the 60s, that the children and the grandchildren of those progressives think that this is the way that you behave when you get sent off to college by your parents while they're footing the bill? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Evergreen State College and progressivism. Joy Pullman of The Federalist will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll talk about barrenness with Katie Schuerman. She's author of the book He Remembers the Barren. We'll talk about a Wichita Eagle story about religion and mental illness with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, author of I Trust When Dark My Road. We'll review the movie Alien Covenant. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. And then Pastor Tom Baker will round everything off. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joy Pullman joins us to talk about what's going on at Evergreen State College and on other college campuses as well, and what it says about the current state of progressivism. She's the mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, and author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled, In Surprise Move. A recent column for hers is titled, Threats to Shut Down Public College After Students Go Postal on Professor Objecting to Racial Segregation. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
I'm wondering whether or not professors like Brett Weinstein, who are, I think we could probably fairly say, are peace-minded, more rational progressives, have they lost control of progressivism?
I think it's very clear that that's beginning to happen. And it's really interesting to kind of see there's some befuddlement on the left about why. When, you know, for the right, it seems a lot clearer to us that the presuppositions among many of the left, you know, that have been, I mean, the seeds of modern leftist thought were sown 200, you know, years ago, 100, 200 years ago and more. And so it takes kind of a time for them to basically grow up and bear fruit. And so, you know, the last generation and previous generations of the left are not used to basically, you know, the fruit of their remarks because they haven't have to live in a society, you know, where more of their desires have become reality. And so now that they're confronting with, you know, the next generation, the next advance of their ideas, many of them are very surprised.
Has the left so romanticized the social protests of the 60s that were held on college campuses that their grandchildren think that this is what you do when your parents pay $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year to send you off to the university.
Absolutely. I mean, and I understand, I was actually talking with a fellow who went to State College in Washington, and he says that Evergreen has for years had a reputation as basically somewhere that entitled children go to learn. You know, they're not going to have to worry about actually providing for themselves so much. You know, their family connections or their family wealth is going to provide that for them. Or nowadays, we have kind of a federal largesse that provides, you know, kids who are not from actually rich families kind of the feeling of wealth and entitlement, you know, that enables them to go to a college where they're not actually learning measurable skills that's going to make them more productive in the workforce. So he says for years, you know, Evergreen College was kind of like that. So you just go basically, it's basically one long 4 years of virtue signaling or just to, you know, to kind of enjoy your progressive paradise. And they do things like drum circles. You know, this whole kind of crazy thing on campus actually started over a campus tradition of having, you know, minority students voluntarily leave campus for a day of absence to show all the white kids how much they really need, you know, racial minorities presence. And so what happened this year was the campus quote-unquote diversity coordinator, she actually has a longer and much more humorous title, but she said, you know, her plan this year was to have the white students leave campus instead, and Professor Weinstein objected to this because he thought, you know, we should never be, he, you know, this is almost a quote from him, we should never be demanding that people do or act in a certain way simply because of their race. He viewed that as racist. And so for that, he, you know, students basically started, you know, weeks of rioting, calling him a racist for his remarks.
Basically, this was a new twist on an old tradition at Evergreen State College. And for his part, Brett Weinstein realized with this new twist that instead of the students of color voluntarily leaving campus, the whites were now being required to leave campus. And it seems as though only then does it dawn upon the Evergreen faculty that maybe making this distinction on a regular basis was probably not a good idea all along.
Right. That's so. Yeah. Exactly. So my point is that they are such a, you know, progressive campus that racial segregation, as long as it was, you know, it's you know, minorities, racial self-selected racial segregation, that has been fine for years. But when kind of basically the tables are turned, all of a sudden it kind of, I think, holds their progressive ideas in relief and makes it seem more like actual racism, you know, than it did previously.
Did it actually shut down Evergreen State College?
Oh, it did. I mean, so just this last week, I think it was Thursday, the campus announced that, you know, they were they asked students to leave campus or to basically be on lockdown in their dorms. Police had been telephoned what, you know, they said was a credible threat to the safety of the campus. And, you know, they didn't provide further information about that. And so it's really not, it's hard. I mean, in instances like this, it's very common for there to be hoaxes. I mean, but again, if somebody makes a bomb threat or something else like that, you never want to say, oh, it could be a hoax. You know, you shut down campus to protect kids just in case it's real. So that's what happened.
Most of the time, protests have a goal. They have some kind of stated product that wants to be, either it's a demand or concessions from administrations or something like this. This doesn't seem to be that kind of protest. This reminds me of kind of the day of protest, the Women's Day of protest after the Trump inauguration. It was a lot of noise, but no one really knew what anybody was protesting or what they wanted out of it.
Right. Students actually have released, I mean, if you remember kind of a year or two back, Black Lives Matter was kind of erupting all around the country, particularly on college campuses also. And so the Black Lives Matter protesters were releasing lists of what they called demands. You know, a lot of them were kind of just copied and pasted, you know, maybe changed a little bit from campus to campus. And so that gradually cropped up on the Evergreen campus as well. But that was after, you know, they had already barricaded police out of the building. They had surrounded, a mob of shouting students had surrounded Weinstein in his classroom, so on and so forth. So, the list of demands was kind of something that it seems that they hit upon that they should do with all of their energy in their activism rather, you know, than kind of a pre-planned thing that they were coalescing around beforehand.
And the campus police, at least as far as I could tell, until more recently, were either powerless or had their hands figuratively tied to do anything about the protests.
That's right. And that's another common feature of this, of these sorts of, I mean, I call them riots, you know, because if you have students, you know, throwing chairs around and pushing, you know, you have 50 people who are shouting, you know, at an unarmed, you know, person in the middle of them, you know, that, you know, rioting is, you know, it depends. It's kind of borderline, you know, we have kind of, you know, an edgy, violent situation that's escalating. You know, I think once you start resisting the police, you've crossed, you know, the territory from peaceful protest into aggressive protesting. Anyway, so, these sorts of things, it's common for the college administrators actually, rather than, you know, telling the students, go home, you know, behave like normal adults, you know, or there's going to be consequences, almost in every case, administrators do what happened on Evergreen, which is invite students for something they might call the listening session, which is basically an invitation for students to come and scream at grown-ups and superiors and authorities and dress them down, basically like overgrown toddlers. I mean, there's video of that happening as well on the Evergreen campus, the college president. Apparently, they open every meeting, public meeting on the campus with an apology to Native Americans every single time. So they're continually apologizing for being Americans. And so he opened, you know, with that and then immediately began, again, apologizing to students, and that wasn't enough for them. You can hear them swearing obscenities at him, telling him that he's a racist just because he's a white man, saying that if, you know, just all kinds of just wild, unfounded accusations. It's pretty clear that basically nothing will make these students happy except, you know, basically giving, giving them more power, which is kind of what they came down to with their demands.
So it's dawning on George Bridges, the president of Evergreen State University, that maybe he's not in control of the situation either.
Well, that's pretty clear. And he doesn't even seem, and this I think is kind of an emanation of progressive ideology, right? Progressives are very uncomfortable with authority. They're comfortable with kind of hive mind, you know, kind of quiet coercion, you know, kind of soft coercion, bureaucratic coercion, social pressure. But they really don't like overt displays of clear authority, such as police. They don't like, you know, basically, you know, people coming in and defining what is appropriate behavior and what is not. So, of course, in keeping with that sort of way of that kind of trend in progressive thinking, you know, the President Bridges really doesn't, I don't think that he has authority, right? He's an equal, he's a peer of these students. And so as that, basically, his job is to facilitate community agreement. I mean, these are kind of the words that they use, right? So what it ends up basically being is his refusal to actually use the authority that he has as the administrator of the college results in the students running the show.
What does this say about, because this is not isolated, this may be a more ironic incident, most certainly. It's just got irony written all over it. And it's probably one that's a little more extreme in its ludicrousness. But this is not isolated at all. I'm thinking about not too far from where I sit, University in Missouri, Mizzou, mm-hmm. that has suffered economically and in terms of its enrollment in some pretty mm-hmm. serious ways because of this kind of stuff. Talk about that.
Right. Well, like I mentioned, you know, that was, Mizzou was kind of, you know, I think it was 2015, you know, where the protests there broke out that really, and again, the college administration, they didn't lay down and take it as badly as George Bridges did over at Evergreen, but they were also, you know, they put up with bad behavior from students. And the silent majority there, you know, let them know they disenrolled their kids. They didn't send their kids for their freshman class and so on and so forth. You know, while protesters are loud, they are a very loud minority on most campuses, perhaps not in Evergreen. And so the more that administrators attempt to appease the few people who are unwilling to do what it takes to live a peaceable civic life and, you know, community with other citizens and respect their rights and treat them like human beings and not dehumanize them just because they presumably have different ideas, you know, the more that college administrators enable that, actually, I think the more that they're hastening the disrespect for the American higher education system. You know, we many Americans are really not confident that college is getting, you know, really providing much for kids in return for all the money that parents and taxpayers are spending on that. And that perception is really well borne out by the data about the outcomes from higher education in general. So if parents say, look, you know, my kid's going to go on average $28,000 of debt graduate with, And it may be hard for him or her to get a job after graduation, despite spending all that money and time to get that degree. And while he's there, you know, he has to put up with not being educated or being screamed at by other students or faculty because of his or her skin color or sex. You know, and just the more that these sorts of things keep happening, the less confidence people are going to have in this university product that administrators, by trying to protect and coddle, are really hastening its downfall.
I mean, I'm thinking of what I read in terms of kind of the online response to the Evergreen situation, which was from people saying, you know, if you are a prospective employer of any of these students when they graduate, think twice before you hire an Evergreen graduate.
Well, exactly. I mean, if this is how you think that students on that campus act, who wants to invite that HR nightmare into their business environment? Right? You know, someone who's going to scream at you for, you know, the fact that, I don't know, maybe your hair isn't done in the proper way or whatever, you know, made some joke that seemed to offend them. You know, that's just a nightmare, right? Nobody wants to deal with that.
Finally, you say that these students are protesting make-believe grievances and that they do it because it's precisely what they've been taught to do. What do you mean by that, Joy?
Well, okay, I don't know. I guess this is issues. So I was just about to say, I don't know how deep we want to get here. Well, it's issues, so okay. I actually think one of the things at the heart of the Progressive Project is kind of a replacement of sin and atonement and redemption. And so because of that, you know, many progressives, even if they think that they have a faith or, you know, they profess a faith, a lot of the Progressive Project substitutes government for God. So it basically attempts to perfect, you know, to make up for our sins and our weaknesses by having government step in and somehow try to level the playing field. But I think more Orthodox Christians would understand it's impossible to level this side of eternity, right? You know, sin is always in the world and it's always going to be creating injustice. Which doesn't mean that we don't have to fight it, of course, but it does mean that, you know what I mean, there's a certain level of kind of brokenness in the world that we should probably learn how to live with and get over in love and community and not expect that we can have utopia on earth. So the Progressive Project, I think, it is really sensitive to this sort of, you know, this victim, this grievance-mongering sort of culture, but I think what that really is people, their conscience is realizing the truth, you know, that the world is broken, and they don't have a sort of way of understanding how to put that to right. You know, if they don't have a religious belief in redemption, in Christ paying, you know, for the effects of our sin. So without that, you know, just trying to replace that deep sadness over our sin and the, you know, seeing that as a reality in the world, trying to have that fixed by demanding kind of silly things, you know, to have certain administrative positions restructured through your college, it just looks silly, right? So what this really is, I think, is an exercise in people really looking for redemption outside of something that is outside of themselves. They are trying to basically save themselves through their works. And, you know, and that's what we see on this campus. It's just a manifestation of that deep human need, and they don't really know that the way that they're trying to get it met is not going to work for them.
Joy Pullman is a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, and author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, in a recent column at The Federalist titled, Threats Shut Down Public College After Students Go Postal on Professor Objecting to Racial Segregation. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks for being our guest.
No, thank you.
We're going to be talking with Katie Schuerman on the other side of the break about barrenness. She is author of the book, He Remembers the Barren. Then Pastor Todd Peppercorn joins us to discuss a Wichita Eagles story about the relationship, the complex relationship between religion and mental illness. Stay tuned. Have you put off your decision to attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference to the very last minute? That's okay. You can still register for $80, but the registration fee won't include the meal plan. Register today at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The 5th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for six digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.